This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
And this is it. I mean, there's still a lot more to come, but this is it as far as the last coaches show of the season, Bullseye featuring softball to end things off with Ken Erickson and Alana Rivera. We'll also speak to a member of track and field. We'll talk about track and field here in a second. And I'm going to go ahead and put it into you guys' head. Kaylee Cottrell and Joey Johnston, start thinking of your highlight moments from the show from this year and from USF in general. We're going to do that at the end. That's a teaser right there.
One thing I'm thinking about is the Kenny Loggins song, This Is It. It's ringing in my head. But anyway, I digress.
I assume that Michael McDonald sang background on that at some point. Yep. Had to have, because that was that era.
I'm thinking
of Happy Trails, which is another song that Kaylee Cottrell has
We need to bring things a little more up to date here. Okay?
Nor should you. Trust me, Kaylee. Yeah. You know what? Don't look it up, because Happy Trails will make us seem even older than we must seem you already.
It's okay. I could get into it.
She tolerates us very well.
But in general, before we get into the meat of what's going on now, this has been a good experience, Kaylee, and I want to thank you. Again, we'll do the whole thank you reel at the end, but this has been so pleasurable, and thanks for hanging around.
Gosh.
Thanks for not deserting me midway through the year.
No, I have loved it. Every single aspect of this show this whole year has brought me so much joy. This is a happy place for me, so I can't tell you how much I've loved it.
Yeah, and Joey, you've been all right to work with, too.
Yeah,
it's been okay,
kind of the interloper here, but you know, it's been fun to see work with the professionals such as you guys and meet and greet the coaches and the players. It's been a lot of fun. I think hopefully the viewers have picked up on that. It's these people that toil on the fields and the diamonds. There's a lot more to them than you know about, and hopefully we've all been able to show that side of them.
You're definitely one of my favorite interlopers of all time. Been more than that, trust me. Mm-hmm. We started off with football, basketball, now baseball and softball. And again, we'll have Ken Erickson here in just a little bit and Alana Rivera. So what else has been going on lately? We're going to get to the track in a bit, but track and field continues. Joe, I know you've written a lot of articles because there's been a lot of stuff to write about. This weekend, they set the 29th and 30th as far as school marks for best in a jump specifically. And that wasn't the highlight. It was what they did at the Penn Relays, which is prestigious, an event you might know something about.
It's as prestigious as an event there is in sports. And our USF relay team went up the 4x1 and beat Houston, which is a big name in track and field, beat them to win and got to raise the trophy at the Penn Relays. That is a hugely significant moment, not only for this school year, but any school year. So this track and field program the last few years has just made amazing strides under Coach Eric Jenkins, and it is a national force, and I know it's going to keep getting better and better, but this is a team that's going to be heard from at the NCAAs for sure.
The 4x2 men and women both won, and that was in Pennsylvania at Franklin Field, I believe. Yeah. And then the other ones I was mentioning about the 29th and 30th school records were in Jacksonville. They'll all be headed up for the conference meet in a couple of weeks and trying for a championship as the indoor went to the men's team. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, yes, last time we were here was with the baseball team, and they had a phenomenal weekend as far as the alumni coming out, and the Cut for the Cure that we talked to Billy Moll about was a fantastic event. They dropped two or three from FAU. They got a couple big series coming up against East Carolina, the first place team in the conference. Also, another feature, by the way, thank you for doing all these features all year long.
I love them.
Great
at
editing them and performing the interviews.
Thank you.
Also with Marissa Tribal Piece, who Joey wrote a piece about. Tell people a little bit
about Marissa culture. Tribal Piece comes from a softball family in Pennsylvania. Her two sisters, her older sisters, both played college softball. Now Marissa is the last in line. Her dad is a big-time former player, coach. He's a basketball official in high school. He's been around the block a few times. Ken Erickson knows him well, and that's a distinguished softball family. But when you think about all the hours that they put in on the ball field with all their kids, and now it's coming to the end of the line, you know, senior night was a bit of a tearjerker for this family. I mean, when you've decades and decades of softball, and Marissa's the last in line trying to go out with a bang, and all her family watching her with her dad, by the way, has not missed a game this year. He's gone
home
to all
and
of them.
Away.
All
home
of them.
And away.
Yeah, home and away.
What's
home
his,
and
what's
away.
His home base?
Well, he's staying down here in Florida a lot of the time, but back in the day, and he's sometimes in Pennsylvania, so he knows his airports, put it that way. He knows how to get from A to B, and he knows this drill. But again, you know, this hard-bitten softball guy knows that, hey, this is the end of a era for my family, And so really interesting. He's a guy that knows his softball, and it's a very distinguished family.
Yeah, it was just cool to hear Marissa talk about him, too, because he did coach her growing up. And she's like, you know, people come to me like, oh, you have your dad as your coach. Like, I don't know if I'd like that. But she said it has just really filled her heart through her whole life. So they have an amazing relationship, and it was cool to see and hear about.
She was one of the seven seniors honored before Friday's game. By the way, on Saturday's game, she went 0-for-0 and reached base five times. She must have gotten a lot of good teaching from that family. Three walks, two hit by pitch. Had Ryan Eigman, Bailey Dripola, also Sam Malander get honored. Lexi Kopko, Jordan Cadlub as part of that big pregame ceremony. So Alyssa Reno as well. We'll talk to Ken Erickson about his seniors and the rest of his team. Also, definitely want to mention golf, as both teams are going to the NCAA tournament. Last Wednesday, we had the women's selection show. Got to enjoy that. They're headed to North Carolina as the number six seed. Top five advance to the finals of the NCAA tournament. And Steve Bradley's men's team. Speaking of Steve Bradley and Erica Brennan, two people that we've interviewed for this show, they'll find out where they're going as conference champs. They know they're going on Wednesday. So a lot is happening. And again, at the end of the show, we'll recap the whole year, not just on the show, but in USF Athletics. But let's get going with current events and the softball head coach. And a treat to be joined by Ken Erickson, Derek Sharp here with Joey Johnston. The last time we talked here, Coach, it was the day before you all headed to Gainesville, and we're going to get to that trip. I thought that was quite enjoyable. But more recently, I thought it was tremendous being able to have such great crowds this last weekend. Mm. I thought it was great, and we'll get into the seniors in a second, but speak on the crowds.
All year long, you know, anywhere between, you know, 1,100 and 1,300 people in the ballpark, and a lot of energy. Obviously, fast pitch softball is a tier one sport when it comes to, you know, popularity on television. And now, obviously, the Tampa Bay area is showing you that not only is the area good, but it's also almost an epicenter of fast pitch softball in the state of Florida, because you can come here from all over the place. But exciting softball, great competition, and the fans are showing it.
It felt that way, and it was awesome. I just want to commend whoever put it together. I know you have a staff. Mm-hmm. The senior video tributes, because sometimes senior days can just be stats, and you know, it doesn't tell the whole story. You had members of the team with some very touching comments about all seven who were honored. That's first. Secondly, I love that you guys honor the opposing teams, in this case, FAU seniors. It was so well done.
Well, that's the tradition for us, is honoring the other seniors. I mean, it's about the game and about the athletes on the ball field, and if you don't respect the other dugout, you don't respect the game, then really why are you playing it, right? Just for selfish reasons. However, I want to know who did that video, too. I thought that there should have been some credits at the end, because that might have gone to a SAG-AFTRA try to perfection, but that was pretty darn good. And whoever did it needs all the accolades in the world. That was phenomenal.
Coach, one thing, you know, you talk about the popularity of softball, how people pick it up on it, the crowds. It seems like the last few years I run into these, you know, hard-bitten baseball fans, they'll say something like, man, did you see that softball game? Yeah. Have you ever watched college softball? And you go, yeah. And there's like a new wave of people that are paying attention to your sport. What's going on with you know, why these other people from other sports are drifting toward your sport?
Well, it's made for TV, number one. You know, first of all, it's fast, it's action-oriented, it's violent, you know, in respect of the nature of the speed of the game. And you know, viewers that are holding the clicker on TV like speed and violence, right? Because that's what goes on. And so it is volatile, you know, not in the sense of hurting anybody, but the volatility of the speed and the closeness of it and the reactions of the women. And so when you listen, and you know, I have a lot of friends that are playing Major League Baseball, it's in the dugouts. It's in the locker rooms, you know, during a postseason while they're watching, because it is interesting. And to watch the women play this game at a very, very high level is fun to watch, and there's energy. You know, every pitch means something. It's that intense all the way. And so 60 feet between the bases, you get on base, there's potential for a run. Hard hit balls, potential for a run, but also potential for a great play. You know, and we're lucky enough to have one of the best defensive players in the country playing second base for us, who makes it exciting and brings people out in herself. But it piques the interest of a lot of fans because of the speed part of it.
I agree with that so much. Let's talk about Kathy Garcia Soto, because I was actually, I called the games from the Donaldson deck for radio, and the FAU baseball team was up there, and they were oohing and on because they hadn't seen her. Yeah. We're getting used to seeing spectacular.
Yeah.
Does she not surprise you anymore?
No, it's like old hat. You know? I mean, we see it every day. It's kind of like, you know, you make $1 million, and next year you make $1 million, and the year after you make, it's like $1 million, right? So But no, there's times that I'll turn around and just go, wow. You know, and to say that I've been around a long time to see some great defensive players and fast pitch softball and baseball, but she is she's a highlight reel. She's a human highlight reel, but she plays because of her heart. You know, she's that type of player, is passionate. There's nothing that she doesn't think she can not get to, you know, and then she's maturing. I mean, she's just a sophomore, you know, and people don't realize that. She's already been on highlight reels left and right since the day she got here, but the plays that she's making, not just for us, but when you watch her play international ball for Team Puerto Rico, she's making those same plays, and they go nuts, you know. And so, and beside being such an ebullient, beautiful young lady as a person, right, she's almost like the Pied Piper of the little kids that come out to the ballparks and watch right now. Everybody wants to be Kathy Garcia.
It's not only Kathy. You've got Jordan Catalub in center field that makes incredible plays. You've got other great defensive players. Does that speak to the way you want to play this game, pitching, defense, 1-0 games? Is that the type of style?
I'd really rather not just be 1-0.
I know you like 10-0 games if you could.
But the schedule we're playing, you're going to see a lot of 1-0 ball games, right? Uh-huh. I mean, we're playing against some of the best teams in the country. Our conference is a top 5 RPI conference, which, you know, for us at USF, that's pretty high-level stuff. But you've got athletes out there that have taken the philosophy that I had as a player, and that's to play like the old St. Louis at Gas House Gang. You know, you're going to throw your body around and sacrifice the body for the team to get the out and play hard on the base path. So that's the way we practice. That's the way we play. That's what the expectation is. And these kids, you know, in the recruiting process, that's what you watch, who has the heart and who does not. And so, you know, you can't have a play with torn cartilage. I mean, you got to every day. They got to go out there and they got to play every single day. And the people you mentioned, and Galligani in left field making great plays, and Catalub in center making great plays. Dania Brooks, you know, Tyler Vaughn, these guys, they lay it on the line, which is fun to watch.
You mentioned the Pied Piper with Kathy Garcia Soto. The reaction she got after making 3 more of million-dollar plays coming up for her last at-bat at home, I haven't heard that reaction in a while. It shows that people are recognizing those plays. You mentioned winning 1-0. Peyton Dixon has done that twice, her last first games out. Speak to what she's done before we get to Gainesville.
Well, once again, another sophomore. Right, who continues to get better. And so these players are all coming back, and they're getting that fan base following now, which is really nice. But Peyton's a cool cat, and she reminds me a lot of what Sarah Nevins used to do on the mound, not show a lot of emotion and not get caught up in the deal. And people think that's the way she is all the time. But if you take a look at the video of the game against University of Florida up there when the game was over, I mean, she went nuts, you know, with her teammates and because of that intensity. But she holds herself very professional on the mound. You can't tell whether it's a 1-0 game or she's getting a butt kicked that day or she's kicking butt. She's that cool cat throughout the whole game, which lends itself to a lot of success in the future.
Speaking of Gainesville, you went up to Gainesville. You beat a nationally ranked Gators team. You showed on that night what this team is capable of. What did you make of what you guys were able to do that night, and how much confidence does it give you moving forward that you can produce something like that?
Well, you know, it's a nice affirmation of just play the game. You know, and not get caught up in all the hoopla that everybody puts into. Like you're playing. Look, we played Washington, right? We played Oklahoma State. You played Florida earlier in the year. You're playing some of the best teams in the country all the time. And so when you get to those type of games, it's just another game. And that's what you want it to be. That's why we schedule like we schedule. We're not going to go out and be undefeated in the first 30 games of the year. You know, that's just not the way the game works, you know. And no matter how well you play, no matter how not well you play, the scoreboard has a tendency to lie, and so we don't get caught up in that, but we try to play, every pitch. It sounds like coach speak, but it's really not. That's the way we have to be, and my team will tell you all the time, if you ask coach, like, what's next, he's going to just tell you, really, lunch, you know, or dinner, you know, and then we worry about tomorrow, but get at it. So they kept everything in perspective, which was really, really nice. The one thing I will tell you about this year's team, and you both can probably recognize that, is in the past, when you're down 3-0 or 4-0, you didn't have a shot, you know, in the past 4 or 5 years. Now, it doesn't matter, you know, and we proved that up in Gainesville. We proved that up in Wichita. We proved that against FA. We're proving that, you know, that we can come back because you've got some offensive power. And so if the pitching and defense stays consistent, all cylinders are happening at one time, which they haven't yet this year, okay, so we still have time for that to happen, we could be pretty good.
Another marker of that series, correct me if I'm wrong, but from that point on, the lineup has relatively stayed the same. Yeah. You know, Brooks, that was the beginning. She hasn't come out of lineup at third base. Yeah. Guys like Elliott. I want to point out Brooks not just for what she's done at third base and at the dish, but in that game, the at-bat where after you had tied it, She draws a bases loaded walk, fouling off a couple pitches in this hostile environment. I think she's been impressive, but the lineup has stayed consistent.
The lineup has to be consistent at some point. You've got to come up with the, like, who's your best offensive defensive combinations. And yes, Dania definitely showed a lot of maturity in that at bat, but more than anything else, I mean, if you go back in that game, the play that she made, going down the left field line over the head, you know, that's a play you don't see very often, let alone by a freshman. So, you know, she was not going to be denied, and did a phenomenal job with that thing. And then over the next four or five games, came up with some really big hits for us and showed some uncanny power from somebody you don't like. Well, she's not that big, but that kid's got dynamite in her hands, you know, and so we look forward to a really nice future with her.
And real quick, her dad is a softball expert, right?
From what I understand, mom is the athlete in the family.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And she's also the one that makes sure that everybody stays. So I understand that the dad's a loose cannon. So somebody we have to keep in check.
Coach, I want to ask you one thing. You know, you talk about people who are invested in USF. You were certainly one of those people, spanning back to your playing days. And I know a few years ago, it was one of my favorite quotes ever, where you said your wife called you the idiot savant of softball. And you said, come to think of it, I'm not sure she used the word savant. I know you'd like us to think of you as the old hard-bitten ball coach, you know, chewing tobacco or whatever, but there's a little bit more to you than that. And I know you don't show that side of yourself so much, but how do you portray that to the team when it's not just ball?
Yeah.
You try to give them life lessons. You try to teach them some of the stuff you've experienced. How does that work for you as you are more than a coach?
Well, you know, you better have flexibility in life, right? In all honesty, you know, I actually thought I was going to be working for the State Department coming out of college, you know, in international law in some capacity. And it just so happened that, you know, I was doing a bunch of hitting lessons and so forth, and the softball coach had asked me if I wanted to be a GA. And then I was like, well, I don't know about that. And she said, well, I can pay for your graduate work. I said, well, okay, we got a shot now. But the aspect of understanding history, about the world, history, about why we are where we are right now, even in the political sense of what goes on, but to keep people attuned of current events, you know, and things that are going on and why those things happen. So I can give you a little context of why things are happening and why, you know, things are on the internet and this and that. And so for these young people to get that context from somebody like me who's been around a little bit helps out. And it also helps out keep the stress levels low. Like, the other day we were talking to Bailey Gipola, who had a tough day, you know, and I asked Bailey, I said, Bailey, you know, if you go over to that apartment complex over there and knock on the door and tell them you're 0-2 with two strikeouts, nobody gives a crap, you know, and so you got to keep those things in perspective. Right. And then, you know, the other aspect of it was like Peyton, you threw a great shutout, but you go knock on those doors and I say 1-0 shutout, nobody cares. So it's a game that you understand, but it's about the life lessons that you can learn and how you bounce back. But people also talk about baseball and softball being a game of failure. And I've never believed that. You know, and Robin Roberts was a really, really good coach and a great philosopher of life beside being a coach for us. You know, it's a game of opportunity. And every day presents an opportunity. And what are you going to do with it? And don't waste it. So, you know, we have these conversations all the time, but we keep things in perspective. You know, and if your parents love you, and, you know, your family loves you, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen to you during a ball game today? So just go play. And that's what we do.
Well, staying with the non-softball part of this softball family, and that is, you know, exam weeks and graduation. There's a lot more going on off the field. Yeah. How do you keep everybody able to take care of every aspect of their life?
Well, you're not going to forget how to play the
game. True.
Right? Okay, so if you take the extra day off and you don't train, you're not going to forget how to play. And your body's not going to forget how to respond. You know, so I think so many coaches overcoach at the end of semesters and during midterms. So if you have an understanding of when the midterms are, you know, and when the finals are, and when the stress levels are, and continue to communicate with your players about their lives, then it's like, hey, take a day off. You know, and I give two freebies a semester. Like, you could come in and say, I need a day. I'm like, we don't call it a mental health day. It's just, I need a personal day, whether it's for studying or whether it's I just need a physical break. That's part of life. You know, it's not pound, 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 pound all the time. And I see that at youth ball also. There's just so much overtraining that goes on. And rest and recovery is not just for the physical being, but it's also for clearing the head. You know, and we play, now listen, you know, I'm not going to brag about this, but we play 56 regular season games in a short period of time. There's no other sport In college, that plays 56 games.
No way.
Right? And you're playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So when we need Monday off, we need Monday off. Right? But and I think sometimes, and we all have a tendency to do this as administrators and in college programs, is like, okay, it's just another day. It's not. You know, they actually need to back out, you know, and step away from the game. So we make sure of that.
All that being said, as the postseason approaches, what have you learned about, you have the long season and then you want your team to peak at the right time. What have you learned about preparing your team to do that, to peak at the right time?
Less is more. Less is more. You know, we really work our butts off in the fall to train like a Major League Baseball team. That's our big spring training. It's 2.5 months of, training every single day in respect of something that's going on, taking that one day off, all right? But that's a condensed 8-week period, right? Then we come back in January, touch up upon it, and as we start to go through the season, you kind of pare down the intensity levels and just keep a touch going and reminders here or there. But at the end of the year, if you haven't done your job as a coach, it's over, right? I mean, they're already got the car going down the road, right? We don't want to have them have to, you know, avoid obstacles down the road. So we try to keep the road as clear as possible, but less is more.
So the road for you guys here on out at UTSA this weekend, then the conference tournament in Wichita, they're going to have to win 4 games in 4 days. And I looked at it. You might think the Bulls have to win the whole thing. It's possible, but if you get to the finals, for example, you're going to have to beat some good teams to get there. So what's your outlook for the conference tournament?
Win the first inning, the first day.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Short term.
Why exhaust yourself?
Yeah.
You know, there's no sense in looking that something hasn't happened yet. So if we can keep that, you know, compartmentalization of just take care of the business at hand, you got a great shot. And every great team I've ever been with, whether you're winning gold medals or, you know, or winning championships in South Florida, it's just take care of right now. Be where your feet are. And I know that's cliche-ish, but it's really the truth. You know, you can't worry about what hasn't happened yet.
Sure. Well, we're looking forward to the whole thing. We really appreciate all the time. We love covering your team, and we'll be watching in San Antonio and in Wichita. Thanks,
Ken. Thank you very much.
And one of his standout players is going to join us next. Stay tuned.
This is a big pitch right here on 0-2. Here it is. And Rivera smashes it, and that is coming through right there. That should bring two home. It will. Just what I'm talking about. The Bulls jump ahead 2-0. Alon Rivera crushes that 0-2 pitch, and the Bulls have the lead.
You're listening to Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
And that standout player I was just referencing joins us now, Alon Rivera. Derek Sharp here with Kaylee Cottrell. We had to move some seats around here. The guys can go. The ladies join us now. And it's a pleasure to be joined by you.
Thank you. First of all,
we're going to get into this, but it's great to see you fully healthy. It seems like, I'm sure, a long time ago that you weren't playing softball, but how special has it been to just be back out there on the field performing well as you have?
It's been amazing to be back with the team, playing softball again. I'm very passionate about it and being back on the field.
Well, I heard it was supposed to be an 18-month recovery, usually, for the type of injury you had, and you recovered in about 12.
Mm-hmm.
What was that process like, and how were you able to bounce back like you did?
Yeah. So first, I was told that it was supposed to be 18 months. It was like 12 to 18, and I was like, it's not going to be 18 months. Yeah. It's definitely not going to be 18 months. So. It was a big support system behind me between like athletic trainers, coaches, teammates, that helped get me to where I am now. And it was a long process, but I was very grateful for it.
To where you are now, it just doesn't seem like, you sometimes take it for granted when someone's been injured like you have, that it looks like you didn't miss a beat. How hard was it to get to that level? Because it seems like you haven't missed a beat. Maybe you got stronger, I don't know.
Last year was a lot of a blur because I feel like I was just so present in the moment and cheering with my teammates that it kind of took away from having to be in rehab for like 3 to 4 hours a day and all that stuff. So it was tough, but it all worked out.
Cheering with your teammates and also cheering with your roommates. Right. Tell people who the roommates are and how did you get that nickname?
So the roommates are Alon Rivera, me, Lexi Kopko, and Josie Foreman.
What a trio.
We've been together since freshman year in the Holly dorms.
Wow.
We roomed together, and then we've moved to 2 apartments since then. But yeah.
So they go everywhere together, obviously, including famously to the volleyball game where you guys, I know that the baseball team made the Pumpin' Up song famous, but you guys were in the corral cheering to that. How did you guys get to be to that point where, you know, you want to go to other sporting events? It seems like that's always such a big deal. I enjoy watching the teammates support each other from different sports.
With one comes three, and I feel like we just love supporting other teams because we love when other teams come support us. Hmm. You guys saw the crowd this weekend. It was amazing.
Awesome.
And there was a bunch of other sports that have come throughout the years in our softball games and throughout the season. It's always fun to see familiar faces that you see in athletics, in the training room.
That's another part of the family, right? Training room family.
Right,
that's
right. A big deal. I mean, you said you guys have been together since your freshman years. How cool has it been to really grow through these years with some of your best friends?
Yeah, it's been awesome because we've grown as people, but also as players, and we've learned so much from each other. And we're always able to pick each other up. We know each other like the back of our hands. It's awesome.
Who's the best hairdresser out of you guys? I know hair is a big thing before games. Yeah. Is there anyone delegated to?
I usually do Josie and Lexi's hair.
Unless
Lex does the bun, I'll do my own hair.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, as you can tell, my hair is phenomenal. My wife owns a salon, so that's part of it. But hair is extremely important. I only bring this up not to make it about me, but to make it about the Stampede of Champions.
Yes.
Who did all that makeup? You guys were phenomenal.
We had a few different people, so I did Bailey Dropola's hair. Josie did her own hair. Lex did her own hair. I know Alana Consolazio did a lot of the girls' hair and makeup.
Man, multi-talented.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just the red carpet. It's like you guys own the red carpet.
Yeah.
So, nice
it
job.
Was awesome.
And you talk about supporting other teams. I thought that was phenomenal and very special. Speaking of very special, we talked to Ken about it, going to Gainesville and taking the win. And, of course, he gave us a little bit of the, hey, you're used to playing those games. It's just another game.
Pitch. It's a short ground ball to short for one. Over to second. A double play to end it! An amazing 7-4 win! And that is the sound of the whole team gathering in the middle of the diamond to celebrate the victory.
But you saw the reaction at the end. How much did that mean to you? And by the way, you helped turn the double play at the end. That must have been incredible.
That was awesome. Because ever since we've been here, it's always been usually a close game against Florida. Yep. We haven't beat them since I've been here, so it's pretty exciting to do it for not only our team right now, but like previous teams in the past that haven't beat Florida. It was pretty big for us.
Pretty big, mm-hmm. Understatement. Mm-hmm. Understatement.
Through your time here, have you had any other standout moments like that? Anything that has really stuck with you?
That's high up there.
Yeah, I feel like there's quite a few. Like when we beat Oklahoma State in Clearwater, that was huge because it wasn't. It was a really good game.
Yeah.
Just all the NCAA tournament experiences. I know you're looking to get back there. Yeah. It's such a, you know, like you're used to, again, Ken says you're used to playing these big teams.
Yeah.
But how does it ramp up when you play a team like Florida? And how is it going to ramp up here towards the end of the season? Because you're thinking about, I'm sure, the NCAAs.
I feel like we just have to keep playing the game like we know how to. And just know that we can beat those teams because we have in the past. And just keep pushing towards that.
Well, I can see it happening. Let's talk about the person that stands to your left on the diamond and flies around to her left and to her right and all. Do you ever just see a play that people marvel at and go, ah?
Or that's are you normal.
Is your jaw dropping like all of our jaws dropping? I actually love the reactions from you guys watching her make those plays. Speak about Kathy.
Because I feel like she's such an awesome player and she knows. We work so well up the middle because she knows how to pick me up and I know how to pick her up. Mm. But she's an amazing person and teammate. And so when I see plays like that.
Even though last year wasn't bad, she golfs that ball. Kathy Garcia Soto does her thing. That ball was hammered. And Garcia Soto had no time to think. And she grabs it for the first out.
Like I see that in practice as well from her. So it's not anything new, but it's very exciting to see it play to help the team. It's exciting.
Let's talk about the physical aspect of it. It doesn't seem like you guys have any problem selling out. Like you're going to dive no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to the point where you're like, okay, that hurt?
All the time.
Okay. And you don't mind getting a little clay on the uniform if you have to. No. You talked about the spirit of everything. Who are some of the guys? And it always seems like no matter who's on the field, you've got a whole army in the dugout to help you. Speak about the course of a game. When, maybe there's a little bit of a lull and you get that pick-me-up because it seems like you guys are always chatting in a good way.
Yeah, I feel like we have to do that in order to to keep a level head in the middle of a game, because even against this past week against FAU, we were down 4-0 in the first inning. And like with us, we know we can come back at any moment. It's just a matter of everyone being on the same page about who's going to cheer, who's going to pick the whole team up, who's going to say something that's going to make it all click for us.
I love seeing that camaraderie, and I know you have kind of fallen into a leadership role on this team. When you think about the younger gals on the team, how much does it mean to you to kind of support them through their journey?
It's been awesome, because I know I had a lot of role models on the team when I was a freshman and I was playing here and there.
You can give them a shout out. I'm sure they're watching.
Yeah, I know. Kendall Williams. We played in the same position for a while, so she would always help pick me up. Who else? Bethany Keene.
Of course.
She was a good one.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see. Oh, and Megan Sheehan. She was a great one. Because last year, I didn't get to play with her last year, which was her final year. But she helped shape the team and allowed us to grow as people and, like, kind of paved the way for all of us.
Tremendous. And those are some great names. Yeah. And it reminds me of Kendall, you know, making the big plays in the NCAA tournament a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Now, another person to your, well, right, Dania Brooks.
Yes.
I mean, you get to see the younger players develop, and you've got a couple. What about her? Did you see this sort of potential in her? And now, not just defensively, but how she's hitting the ball.
Oh, yeah. She was one that at the beginning, she was kind of like, she's so quick, she didn't know what to do with herself. And it's funny to see that, because like I was in those shoes one day as well. And it's cool to look back and see parts of me in her. But she's been amazing. We've worked really well, and we've started clicking with each other. And she's shown a lot. She's proved herself really well.
And you mentioned when you're down, you guys don't fill out of the game. You were down 3-0 in Gainesville. You were down this past weekend 6-0 or 4-0 and came back. You had a big hit in there. She had a big hit in there. How important do you think that can be as far as gaining the confidence? Because, you know, you might face a deficit the rest of the way. I hope you don't, but you might.
It's big, because a lot of teams, like, or some of our things in the past have been like, you've got to be able to work your way up. You got to find something to get yourself out of that deficit. And we've finally done it, I feel like, this year, where when we have been in a deficit, we've been able to come back, because we know the person to our left and right can make a play to change a game, or the person hitting right after us, if we don't get a hit, they will, and passing the bat and all that.
I love hearing about, you know, you talking about watching your teammates growing. I know you have grown a lot over your time here. How do you think your game has evolved personally?
I feel like last year was a big part of changing the game, just because I wasn't playing in it, but I got to observe everything and learn. And I feel like last year definitely helped shape my game for this year, just because I got a different perspective of it.
You know, I don't pull out the stat sheet very often, I'm not going to. But one thing we probably should mention about her game is she's leading the team in batting average, 328. So specifically, I know the defense is a big part of your game, but people need to know she can hit the ball too. What did you really hone in on to try and improve that part of things?
So that's always been something I've struggled with. Like, I've never, my defense has always been my go-to, and hitting, I would just get my job done. But this year, I feel like I have a different role as a hitter, which is to bring runners in and get on base, pass the bat, which in the past it's been move the runner, get a bunt down, do that. And I think a lot of it was more of visualizing, because I wasn't able to hit until about this summer. And being able to watch and take mental reps throughout all of last year has helped for this year.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Taking those mental reps as we wrap it up. Speaking of mental, I'm sure you know this is the part of the year that people don't think about. They're just thinking about the NCAA tournament. There's a little more that's going on, exams and whatnot. How are the studies going? And Coach already told us about how he let you guys have a day to really focus on things, or day or two if necessary. Speak about the balance, because it doesn't just affect softball, it's everybody.
Yeah, I feel like academics are a big part. I mean, that's why we come to school, not just for softball. And for me, I know that softball is only gonna be for so much longer. And so I have to really, we all do actually, have to hone in on our academics and take time for ourselves.
Well, doing a great job. Boca Ciega Pirate, right?
Yes.
Excellent. Making them proud, making us all proud. Thank you very much,
Alana.
Sure.
Thank you.
Got some track and field that is making everybody proud. That's next on Bullseye.
This is Bullseye on Bulls Unlimited.
out here at the track and field stadium with one of the members of two Penn Relay Championship teams, and he's done a lot more than that. First of all, hopefully the cameras aren't showing all of Rashid's legs because he'll make me look like a little skinny man. Very strong and muscular over here. Before we get into what you've done individually, let's get right to it. I know about your journey here from Ghana, and people that don't know, Coach Jenkins reached out to you originally when you were in high school in Ghana. Do you remember any about that?
Oh yeah, I was in high school, then he reached out to me, and I was running, like, I was having a PB of 10.3, I guess. Yeah, 10.36. Then he reached out to me. Then my academic wasn't really matching USF standard, so.
Sure.
So I need to change different school. So I went to NAIA. Then I didn't know he was the one reaching out to me. I went to NAIA, then my coach and him, they are best friends, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he called my coach one day. I was at practice, then he bring the phone to me. Then he called a name. I still don't remember him. So he said, I'm building a team here and I want you to be part of the team. He was scouting two people in our team, me and Jalen Session. So he just reached out and I said, I'll be ready to join the team.
Wow.
Let's build it together. So then I went back to my phone after the call and I checked. I typed the name Coach Jenkins. Then his name appeared. I was like, oh. I told my coach, I talked to this coach before when I was in Ghana. He said, yeah, that's him. He need you.
Well, listen, if you put the name Coach Jenkins originally, that means he made an impression on you. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I was like, oh, he reached out to me when I was even in Ghana, so let me do it. So I just made my mind over there. The first day he spoke with me on phone, I just made my mind that I'm not going to any school. And the first day I visited here was so welcome, they treat me good. I was like, oh. And I like the weather too, especially like the weather here, I just like it. It's like Ghana, yeah.
Like Miami too, right?
Yeah, Miami too.
So, from Ghana to Miami to Tampa, not much different, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So you people that don't know, we're in the outdoor season here. Thank you for the clouds today, by the way, for arranging that. But you did pretty well in indoor as well.
Yeah.
You were a first team All-American by finishing top eight in the 60. I don't know if you knew that you were the first sprinter male at this school to be an All-American in 12 years. So take us through that experience and share with people the difference between that shorter, you know, as far as the indoor race and now what we're looking at with the outdoor season.
Yeah, I think the indoor was just a little bit rough with me because of my, in the beginning of the season, I got an injury. Mm-hmm. So that injury really messed me up a little bit because I was trying to run so bad in the 4x4 indoors at Gainesville, and I was so tired. So I think reaching out to our last leg, I don't know how it happened. And I twisted my ankle. Then, okay. So it made me so travel. Z and Freddy keep doing their best to make the ankle right so that I can run. And Coach Jenkins, all the coaches, and that was where I felt like, wow, this is really home, because when you fall sick down here, when you get injury, that's when the love is coming from.
Wow.
So I just mark it down and say, wow, I just got injury and I'm seeing love like this. So they keep treating me, managing me, like keep taping me to run. I was feeling the whole outdoor, like I was just running with pains. Yeah, they tape me to run. Every time they tape me to run. So they keep treating me, Freddie doing his best, the doctors, everybody doing their best to get the ankle right. Then I think the first time when we go to outdoor, then I run the 4x1, I think in here, in our whole first home meet, then I feel like, no, I don't need to be taped again.
Oh, good.
So the next meet, we go to Tom Jones. We went to Florida Relays.
Okay.
So I taped and run the prelims and the final. I said, no, let me try and see. Huh. So I just removed the tape, then I run. So when I run, I was like, wow, this is happening. My ankle is getting right. So I just told Freddie that my ankle is getting right. I'm not going to tape it no more. So he said, okay. We go to Tom Jones. I run without taping. Then, so I just tell people that we welcome to outdoor, baby. We are ready.
So listen, you just went through this whole story about making an excuse for your ankle. Eighth in the country is pretty good, but now he's like really good because the tape and the injury. Yeah. And we're seeing it with not just you individually, but with your relay team.
Yeah.
And I jumped ahead when I heard you say Z because Zaquan's part of one of the relay teams. First of all, before we get specifically into the pen relays, tell people how that works because you don't always have to have the same people qualify just to get the time for the final that actually run the final. What can be the benefit of that? And are you always wanting to do both?
The 4x1 was just the first when we get to the warm-up area, the coaches tell us, hey, I know the people creating controversy here between you and Houston people, so you just need to run your own race. Don't look up to anybody. So the prelims, I think the prelims, we ran a good time. We was having the fastest time to qualify to the final.
Right.
Yeah, so I was like, I told the boys that, hey, the time is now or never. We have to do it. Both 4x1 and 4x2.
Both?
Yeah. So the 4x2, I didn't know I was the one starting. Yeah, so I didn't know I was
the one
starting.
You usually finish on the 4x2?
No, I start with them.
Okay, you do. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so when I realized I was the starter, I said, okay, then we won. Yeah, because I said I'm going to run crazy on the first leg and give it to Shuvoy. That was how I do it. So when they shoot the gun, then I just get out. They make sure, I tell myself, I make sure I'll catch the guy in front of me before the 10. So I got him before the 10, then I ran and give to Shuvoy. Shuvoy ran good, give it to Jalu. Jalu ran good and give it to Nate. Then Nate and the Houston guy was having a little bit. And you know, Nate, he's a 400 meters guy, so he used his head. He let the guy come near him, and it was too like tense that he leave him.
Oh, wow.
So I thought we lost. I thought, when I give the baton, I was just watching the screen. So when I see Nate move forward, I was like, oh, we did it. So I was running crazy that day.
So that was the 4x2, and that's good enough.
Yeah.
But you said you had to do both.
Yeah.
So here comes the 4x1, and people, the pen relays, just in a major event, I'm sure you could feel that. So take us through what that was like, the feeling, and then the actual race.
Yeah. I would receive a message from people that you guys are making us proud every day. This is the first time USF guys taking this role. I was like, yeah, I just want people to know that we are ready for this season.
Mm.
Yeah, the table is not gonna turn. We're going all out in AAC championship next week. So they should just get ready for us. And the 4x1 is, 4x1, I was having a doubt.
Mm.
I wasn't having a doubt in the prelims, but when the baton reached the third leg, then I see that the Houston guy moved ahead of Shuvoy. I was like, whoa. So this, they didn't do it back there. Now it's on me.
And he's the anchor.
Yeah, so I said, no, I have to do my best. Just run crazy. So I know the guy. We've been running together since we was in Africa. I know Sean.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I just run. He get the baton before me. Then I said, okay, I have to chase now. So we did a photo finishing and it came out USF won. So I was so happy. I was shouting. Yeah.
Of course you were. I saw it. They actually had tape at the finish line.
Yeah.
Did you see? You can't look over. I mean, you have to look straight ahead, right?
Yeah.
Did you feel like you got there before him? How did it feel?
I feel like I got there before him. Yeah. Because when we finished, I didn't watch the time yet. I watched him before. I just watch him. Then I see the time, I see the board that, yeah, USF. Then
it's
everywhere was crowded. Yeah, it was amazing. And our photographers was doing an amazing job. Like, I have a good pictures. Yeah, I had a good pictures down there.
Okay, I got to ask you one question. He's your friend. When you're getting ready to get the baton there at the end, are you saying anything to each other? I'm guessing no. And if you are, you don't have to say what it is, but do you talk at all to the person that you're going to be running against?
Yeah, those I'm running against, When we go to the call room, we just make fun of each other. Yeah. Sometimes I dance with them. So I tell them all the best. Yeah, all the best.
Hmm.
I'll just, when I do, after my check mark, I'll just tell everybody all the best.
That's good.
Yeah. If you beat me, fine. Just don't make sure I get the baton before you. Yeah. When I get the baton before you, I'm going to chase you. if you get it before me, you're in trouble too. So just choose one.
I think.
Make sure you get the gap wide. Yeah, and go.
I think I just heard you described me for, we interviewed a few months ago for radio, and you said you call it what, the wicked person?
Yeah, yeah, I'm so wicked in the mind when it comes to track, yeah.
But
I'm so wicked.
Outside of that, he's a great guy. And as we wrap it up, you just mentioned looking forward to the conference. What do you guys do specifically now and then to make, between now and then, to really be ready?
Yeah,
sounds like you're ready already. But,
oh yeah, we're ready. Yesterday was the rest day after pain relays. Then today, those who travel to pain relays, we training today then. We just got to do what the coaches tell us to do. They're doing an amazing job here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every Tuesday, what we're supposed to do, we're doing the same thing. The program is not changed. It's already planned ahead of conference. So we're just ready to put on our best and go on. I'll be happy if you win the men's both men and women conference this year. I'll be very happy because we just making changes this year. It's been a rough year for South Florida, and we're trying to make that change. Trying to stop everything, then get a good recruit, then strengthen the squad. Yeah, I know some of them graduating. No, they're not going to be here, majority of them. So we want more athletes to come, then we strengthen the team, keep it going how it's supposed to be. Yeah, because people sleep on us every day.
I don't think that's going to happen much longer.
No.
The squad is so strong. And that's why we wanted to finish up. This is the last coaches show of the year with you guys because of what you have done. So people are definitely noticing. And last question. I know you're about to practice, so you can't have a really heavy watch on your wrist. But tell me about that watch you guys got.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty nice trophy.
Yeah, it was a nice trophy. I don't even plan on wearing it.
I know.
I just put it as decorative in my room. Yeah, they give us medal as well in the 4x1. Yeah, we got medal and I got two watches. I give one to my roommate. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, because when I first got it, when you say, hey, you have to win the 4x1 too, I want the watch.
I assume your roommate's not on the track team.
He's in the track team. That's goodness.
Is? Oh, it's goodness?
Yeah.
Okay, because he's not going to get the watch for it.
Yeah, he
was in Jacksonville. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Goodness gets his own trophies.
Yeah.
Now he has a watch, too.
Yeah, he got a watch. Yeah, the watch is amazing. Yeah.
That's a pretty special.
It's designed by pain relays and everything.
That is a pretty special prize and a pretty special set of individuals that we've talked to. Goodness is great, obviously. So are you, Rashid. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much.
Go get him at conference.
Yeah.
Well, I'm hearing those songs that Kaylee Cottrell has never heard of in my head. Happy trip. I'm not going to sing either.
Thanks for the memories.
Thanks for the memories.
That's a good one.
That's another really good one.
Maybe I'm
going to have to look these up.
Maybe our crack crew can put that at the very end as they fade
our
black.
Our crack crew has done enough. By the way, that Senior Day video, wanted to double check. Brandon Kowalik, who has been a part of this show, thanks to all of our crew, our camera people behind the scenes, people that put the video edits together, Brian Segris, who's the head of communications here as far as the athletics department, lining up all the people that you've seen all throughout the course of the year. We can't thank them enough. And, of course, all the head coaches, starting with Alex Golish, Amir Abdurrahim, Jose Fernandez, Billy Mull, Ken Erickson, and the ones from basically every other sport that joined us as guests throughout the course of the season. But it was Brandon Kowalik and Jessica Moore, who's the sports information director for softball and many other sports, that put together that excellent Senior Day video. We could sit here thanking a
very
lot of
sweet
people, but let's harp on some of the moments throughout the course of the year from the show. I think I know what yours is, but go ahead. Does it involve oral hygiene?
Man, that does stand out to me, that conversation with Byron Brown back in the fall. That was one of the first things we bonded about, our night care, our night mouth care routine, our seven steps, this Listerine, this mouthwash, this toothpaste, this floss, this water pick. But he has a million-watt smile, so it makes sense and stands out to me.
I wish
great
that
kid
had rubbed off to me, but I'm just so far down the list as far as the best teeth in this group. Kaylee, you really are number one. Joey, I know there were a few with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to go with the men's basketball. Coach Amir Abdurrahim, as always, you learn so much every time you talk to him, and he gave us some great moments here on this show. And I'll also remember the interview you guys did with Jaden Reed, the freshman point guard, and just his life on and off the court. Here's a guy that we know he's going to make it big in basketball. We may see him on television as an actor one day. I mean, this is a versatile dude. And, you know, I think he presents himself so well in front of people and a camera. So he'll be back on this show for sure. He may be hosting the show.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. Jaden, hope you're not watching.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to harken back because it seems like it was years ago now to the very first interview we taped. It was actually before we talked to Golish. It was with Denise Shilty Brown. It was just me and her in the Selman Athletic Center. And I'm like, man, first of all, I got to spiff up my experience, my appearance for these shows. You know, you're on camera. I'm used to being the radio guy. But the time that she gave me, the energy, and she is still doing work involving the South Florida Bulls. If you guys missed it, Jordan Listro and Vivian Bissette, who was just on her team, have signed with her new pro team, the Tampa Bay Sun FC. So that's something to watch. Looking forward. But that also reminds me of how many interviews we've done and how long it's been to do these two dozen shows has been so much fun. Now, as far as the actual teams, I do have to lead off with men's basketball. Just if you could actually compile a list of 10 best memories of the year and just be with men's basketball, although you wouldn't end there. But I know, Joey, you really felt a part of that journey.
Yeah, and football, too. I think
absolutely
that just football fed into men's basketball, and we're talking about two first-year head coaches. I think we have to recognize what Alex Golish and what Coach Amir Abdul-Rahim did for not only their teams, but I think for the energy of the entire athletic department and the whole school. Those guys set an incredible tone with the leadership they brought, the energy, of course, and the winning. But they really put some juice into this athletic program that I think carried over to all the teams. And they raised the bar really high. And the bar is going to be high next year for both of them. But what a debut for both those guys and their teams. It set a spectacular tone for what has really been a productive year.
Yeah. And awesome right along with it.
In my head, I'm still here. And it's great to still be able to know these guys, or even though their seasons are over, be very present. And what's the one word you hear from Coach Amir Abdul-Rahim in your head right now? Relax.
Either relax or elite. Yes. One or the other.
As they are adding to the future Bulls list. All right, any closing comments? Seriously, thank you to everybody.
Yeah.
Especially you guys, Jim, BJ Daniels, who is definitely welcome back for the show next year. I'm going to make him do more work on the radio side, but really appreciate it and had a blast.
I did as well. Honestly, so many. It's hard to pick one moment that stands out to me over this past year. And, you know, and I've experienced so many firsts as well. That first sellout for basketball against Charlotte was awesome for me personally to take that all in. And the bowl game experience for me was incredible to take that all in. And it's hard to put into words and pick and choose because so many have made such an impact on me. And talking to each and every student athlete on the features that I've done has given me so much joy and it's been so special.
Are you going to get a little bit of a summer off, or are you going to be hard at work? I mean,
we'll see. We'll see. I mean,
Ken said take a day or two. I think you'll take a week or two.
Take a personal month.
There we go. And then be back at it and be locked in, and I'll be ready.
I will say this, too, and you know, through my career, I've been in professional sports locker rooms or whatever, but I always find myself being drawn back to college because of the energy of the young people and the men and the women and you know, young people sometimes get a bad rap, and it's nice to see these focused, driven, interesting, friendly young people who keep showing up here and playing our sports. And it really does renew your faith in young people to see how hard they work and the great people that they are and the futures that they have. So it's a wonderful thing to be a part of, really.
Yeah, and about that too, I want to add one more thing. One of my favorite features I did this year was on Donovan Jennings for Senior Day. And you talk about the success of these young kids just signing with Green Bay.
Yes.
So headed to the Packers, and man, so proud of him and being able to talk to his dad and his teammates and hearing what they say about him and just who he is on the field, off the field, what a guy. So to see their success and follow them and, you know, I'll be a lifelong fan of Dono and so many of our athletes now. So it's pretty cool.
We met so many special individuals. We want to thank you all. Romy Levy just jumps out as probably my favorite for many reasons, but that's probably unfair to so many others. I know that even though this is the end of the video portion of things and the coaches show, Bullseye, I know that you're still going to be writing a lot of more good things on GoUSFBulls.com, and you guys can still listen to me on Bulls Unlimited. We do a show called Bulls Beat and still play-by-play with baseball and softball. So for the whole crew, and Kaylee Cottrell and Joey Johnson sitting right here with me, I'm Derek Sharp. Thanks. It's been an honor. Keep those horns up.